Arky backed out first and began taking huge gasps of the fresh evening air. Huddy came out behind him and slammed the door. And for a moment, the two of them just looked at each other. Arky had gone past white and directly to yellow. To Huddy, he looked like a cheese sandwich without the bread.
"What you laughing about?" Arky asked him. "What's so funny?"
"Nothing," Huddy said. "I'm just trying not to be hysterical."
"You gonna call Sergeant Shane Dinks now?"
Huddy nodded. He kept thinking about how the whole top half of the thing's head had seemed to peel back when Arky prodded it. He had an idea he'd be revisiting that moment in his dreams later on, and that turned out to be absolutely correct.
"What about Curtis?"
Huddy thought about it and shook his head. Kurt had a young wife. Young wives liked to have their husbands home, and when they didn't get what they wanted for at least a few nights in a row, they were apt to get hurt feelings and ask questions. It was natural. As it was natural for young husbands to sometimes answer their questions, even when they knew they weren't supposed to.
"Just a Sarge, then?"
"No," Huddy said. "Let's get Sandy Dearborn in on this, too. Sandy's got a good head." Sandy was still in the parking lot at Jimmy's Diner with his radar gun in his lap when his radio spoke up.
"Unit 14, Unit 14.
14. As always, Sandy had glanced at his watch when he heard his unit number. It was 7:20.
Could you return to base 14? We have a decode, say again, a decode, copy?
3?
Sandy asked. In most American police forces, 3 means emergency.
"No, negative, but we sure could use some help."
"Roger."
He got back about 10 minutes before the Sarge arrived in his personal, which happened to be an International Harvester pickup even older than Arky's Ford. By then, the word had already started to spread, and Sandy saw a regular trooper convention in front of Shed B. Lots of guys at the windows, all of them peering in.
Brundage and Rushing, Cole and Devo, Huddy Royer.
Arky Arcanium was pacing around in little circles behind them with his hands stuffed forearm deep in his pants pockets and lines climbing his forehead like the rungs of a ladder. He wasn't waiting for a window, though. Arky had seen all he wanted to, at least for one night. Huddy filled Sandy in on what had happened, and then Sandy had his own good long look at the thing in the corner. He also tried to guess what the sergeant might want when he arrived and put the items in a cardboard box near the side door. Tony pulled in, parked askew behind the old school bus, and came jogging across to Shed B. He elbowed Carl Brundage unceremoniously away from the window that was closest to the dead creature and stared at it while Huddy made his report. When Huddy was done, Tony called Arky over and listened to Arky's version of the story. Sandy thought that Tony's methods of handling the roadmaster were put to the test that evening and proved sound. All through his debriefing of Huddy and Arky, Troop D personnel were showing up. Most of the men were off duty. Those few in uniform had been close enough to come in for a look-see when they heard Huddy give the code for the Buick. Yet there was no loud crosstalk. No jostling for position. No men getting in the way of Tony's investigation or gumming things up with a lot of stupid questions. Above all, there were no flaring tempers and no panic. If reporters had been there and experienced the atavistic power of that thing, a thing which remained awful and somehow threatening even though it was obviously dead, Sandy dreaded to think about what the consequences might have been. When he mentioned that to Shane Dinks the next day, the sergeant laughed.
"The Cardiff Giant in hell," he said. "That would have been your consequence, Sandy."
Both of them, the sarge who was and the sarge who would be, knew what the press called such information management, at least when the managers were cops. Fascism. That was a little heavy, no doubt, but neither of them actually questioned the fact that all sorts of abuses lay a turn or two down that road.
"You want to see cops out of control, look at L.A., Tony said once. "For every 3 good ones,
You got two Hitler Youth dingbats on motorcycles.